Thank you, Lord, for your desire. Hallelujah. You really are aggressive in that desire, wanting us to come to you so that you may bless us, that you may touch us, that you may save us, that you may deliver us and set us free. Thank you so much, Lord, for the power of your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll put your words in my mouth as well. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, let your truth come forth this morning, Father. As I read from your scriptures and as I speak to bring the understanding to the people, I pray it will be your spirit that is sponsoring every word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. You say, Pastor, this is the Sunday right before Christmas. Aren't you going to preach something from the New Testament? Aren't you going to bring us some kind of a Christmas message? The answer is yes. You know, you could preach anywhere from this Bible and preach the Christmas message. Because this entire book is the story of God coming in the form of a man. The hero of this book is Jesus. He's the hero of Genesis. He's the hero of Revelation. And he's the hero of every book in between. And so you don't have to look very hard in order to find Jesus on any page. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord God. I'm going to read today from Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning in the 18th verse. God is here posing a question. The question is this: to whom then will you liken God? What likeness will you compare unto him? What do you think God is like? What do you know that you can compare God to? To whom will you liken him? If you wanted to tell somebody about God, how would you tell them? What image would you use to describe who God is and what he's like? Man from the beginning of time has attempted to do this. In fact, verse 19 says, some men have made graven images. The workman melteth a graven image. The goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. In other words, there are some that think that the image of God can be created in a form of metal. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation or no offering, he chooseth a tree that will not rot, and he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Some will take a piece of wood and carve it and make it into an image and call it God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. In other words, the God that we're talking about here is a God that sits on the circle of the universe. And everything else looks to him like grasshoppers and like ants. How foolish it is for a man to think he can take a block of wood and carve an image in it and call it God. How stupid it is for a man to take a hunk of metal and mold it and shape it and form it and have it overlaid with the most beautiful thing that we know on the earth, which is gold. And the goldsmith overlays it, and here's this beautiful, well, that's what God is like. How stupid. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes, talking here about who he is, that bringeth the princes to nothing. Turn me down just a little bit, Mark. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity, In other words, you take the highest and the best, that's good. Take the highest and the best that's in the earth, and compared to God, it's emptiness, it's vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock, that is their image, their idol, their wooden idol, shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then? I just hear him saying this. Can't you hear this? To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? What a question. To whom would you compare me? I'm the mighty God who created everything, and beside me, everything is like empty. Do you think that you could create an image that will reflect me? No man ever has been able to do so. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John. And John was one of Jesus' disciples. And he, of all men, really had a depth of understanding far deeper than it seems to me than any of the other disciples in terms of who God was and what his image was and how Jesus was the image and the reflection and the personification, as it were, of God Almighty. No man can make an image that reveals God. Only God can reveal himself. Hallelujah. And he did so. John chapter 1 and verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. Nobody. Up until this point, no one had fully seen God. Now, Moses had seen the back of God. Remember? He wanted to see God face to face, and the Lord said, you can't handle that. Here, hide in the cleft of this rock, and I'll pass by, and you can look upon my hinder parts. You can take that, but if you look full upon me, you cannot behold the fullness of my glory. Nobody had fully experienced God. Nobody had ever fully had him revealed to him. Samson had a touch from God. Gideon had a touch from God. David had a special relationship with God. But nobody had ever had a revelation of God. A clear and full comprehension of what God was like. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, the word declared here means to unfold or to reveal or to expose. And so up until the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus, that first Christmas, no man had ever experienced God in his fullness. The question that he posed through Isaiah, to whom will you liken God, had never been answered satisfactorily. But when Jesus came, John said, it's the only begotten, the only Son of the living God. He has revealed him. He has unfolded him. He has declared him. He has brought a revelation. To whom will you liken this God? Jesus is the express image of who God is and what he is like. In the first verse of John chapter 1, we read the familiar words, in the beginning was the Word, with a capital W. And the Word, that capital W Word, was with God, and the Word was God. And then the 14th verse tells us, and the Word, that same Word, that capital W Word, this person that is the Word of God, personified, the Word of God humanized, all that God is in a human form. That Word was made flesh. We call this in the Christian faith the incarnation. It comes from the word, the root word from which we get the word carnal, which means fleshly. The incarnation means the God who wanted to reveal himself to man because man's best ideas of what God was like were false. God said, there's no way that any man can ever imagine, he can never conceive of what I'm like. It's impossible for any man. Look at them. Look what they've done. They took a piece of metal and they formed it into an image of a creature. And then they beautified it with the overlaying of gold. That's the best thing they could come up with to explain what I'm like. Some took a piece of wood and made a totem pole out of it and put all kinds of images on it for fear that they might not get the right one. And so the pole is very high and there are images all the way up on every side. Man's best attempt to try to figure out what I'm like, and this is what they come up with. Oh, the foolishness of men. And so if I really want to show myself, if I really want to reveal myself, if I really want my creation, if I want my family to know what I'm like, I'm going to have to take the wraps off myself. I'm going to have to reveal myself. I'm going to have to do it because they could never understand. They could never comprehend. And so I'm going to take myself and I'm going to put myself in a human body. And I'm going to unfold what I'm like. I'm going to expose what I'm like. The central truth of the Christian faith is what happened at Christmas. That God Almighty came to the earth, took a body for himself, and revealed himself to mankind. And so you and I know what God is like. If someone were to say to us, to whom will you liken God? What is he like? What would you compare him to? What would your answer be? It'd be one word. Your word would be Jesus. Because Jesus is not only what God is like, Jesus is God himself. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Turn with me, please, to the 17th chapter of John. I want to share with you several verses from the Gospel of John on this subject. John 17, reading beginning in the first verse. Now, this passage is taken from what has come to be known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. This is a prayer that he prayed on the night he was betrayed. This is a part of the prayer that he prayed in the garden at Gethsemane before the soldiers came to carry him away. He was crucified the next day. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power or authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Everybody say, that they might know thee. See, that's why he came, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, the fifth verse is the key verse. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. See? Jesus did not just was not just born. He just did not begin to exist on that first Christmas. That's not what happened at Christmas. What happened at Christmas is that God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Son took a human body for himself. But the real person, the Spirit of Jesus, is God Almighty. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, you might hold your finger there in John and jump with me over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and let me show you a verse here. It's really unfortunate how few Christians understand this. Most Christians know the word incarnation, but they don't really know what it means. To be incarnate means God in flesh, God incarnate. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 5. Wherefore, Jesus, now this is a quotation from the Psalms, and Jesus here talking about himself. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. In other words, the sacrifices and the offerings of the Old Testament, the covenant system, was not what God really wanted as a final result. It was simply a preview. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You understand what that means? Here is a spirit, God the Son, who needs a body in order to conduct business, as it were, in the earth. In order to be the sacrifice for all mankind, in order to be the champion of all men, it takes a body. No man could do that. Only God could do that. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I already existed in glory with thee, John 17:5. Which I had with thee before the world was. I existed. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I didn't just come along here 2,000 years ago. I've been from the beginning, and I'll be standing at the end because I'm God himself. To whom will you liken God? He said. To whom will you compare me? In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And so, when Jesus came, he is God himself in our form, in the fashion of a man. Hebrews chapter 2 says that if he was going to help man, he did not come like an angel. He took upon himself not the nature of angels, but the nature of Abraham, or the nature of a man, because it was us who needed the help. It was us who needed the expression. It was us who needed the revelation. It was we who needed to understand who God was and what he was doing and what he was like. We needed to have an experience with him. We needed to know him. And so Jesus said several things about himself during his earthly ministry, as recorded in the Gospel of John, and there are four that I want us to concentrate on today. The first one is in John 12. Hopefully you have your Bibles with you, all of you, and you'll follow these verses along. Perhaps if you have not highlighted these, you'll do so this morning. Jesus said about himself in John 12 and verse 45. This is where he began to get into trouble with the Jews. This is where he began to get crosswise of the religious people. Because you see, the problem that... I see. It's part of our problem there. Turn this up and this off. That's why we're having that. That's good. That's good right there. Thank you. The problem that they were experiencing was this. The Jews had an image of who God was. In fact, when God came, they rejected him. They said, hey, this isn't what our God's like. Our God's not like this at all. Jesus said, the reason you don't know me is because you don't really know him. If you knew him, you'd know me. You'd know me. You have developed over the last several thousand years this idea of what God is like. And we understand now why God would ask them the question in Isaiah 40. To whom will you compare me? Who do you think I'm like? Now the Jews had not made statues, and they had not made totem poles, and they hadn't made wooden and metal images and so on, because one of the commandments was you can't do that. But they had other images that they had erected in their minds, the same as we do. They worshiped their temple. They worshiped the ark. They worshiped the mercy seat. They worshiped the law. They worshiped their religious leaders. They worshiped themselves. They worshiped the altar. The same way that men do today. We worship ourselves. We worship our families. We worship our jobs. We worship our cars. We worship our houses. We worship everything except the true God. Jesus said in John 12 and 45 these words. Perhaps we read this together. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. This cost him his life. This is why they crucified him. Because he made himself equal with God. He said, you see me, you see God. Look at John 8 and verse 19. Then said they, talking about the religious Jews, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. So he says, see me, see God. Know me, know God. See me, know me. See God, know God. John 13 and verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Okay? He said, see me, see God. Know me, know God. Receive me, receive God. Got that? See, know, receive. See Jesus, know Jesus, receive Jesus. See God, know God, receive God. John chapter 3, or chapter 5, I'm sorry, and verse number 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. So what's he saying? Honor me, and you what? Honor God. You don't honor me, you don't honor God. Regardless of what you think you're doing, you're not honoring God. So see me, see God. Know me, know God. Receive me, receive God. Honor me, honor God. See, know, receive, honor. All of those things, if you do it to Jesus, then you do it to God, because Jesus is God. That's why this happened. See? Right here. That's what this is all about. They couldn't stand that. To whom will you liken me, and what do you think I am like? And what expression would you use to describe who I am? Jesus said, use me. I am the image of the living God because I am the living God. And then he was to say in John chapter 14, let's turn there. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, that is unto Thomas, I am the way. Notice he didn't say, I know the way. He didn't say, I'll tell you the way. I'll write your book about the way. I'll lead the way. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What does that mean? If you want to come to God, you've got to come by Jesus. See Jesus, see God. Know Jesus, know God. Receive Jesus, receive God. Honor Jesus, honor God. Come to Jesus, come to God. There is no other way. He said, no man can come to the Father except by me. Nobody can know God without Jesus. Now you say, that's the thing I have against you Christians. You're not tolerant. You're not tolerant of anybody else's views. Well, isn't it stupid? What would you say, and what do you think most of these people would say, if they saw somebody making a wooden stick into an image and putting it up on a table and saying, this is our God, I'm going to worship him. Now, do you think we should be tolerant of that? Because tolerance of that kind of futility just consigns that person to hell, doesn't it? Well, suppose they have an image of a so-called God, and they call it Buddha. That would be different, wouldn't it? No, see, it wouldn't be any different at all. Suppose they worship Allah. I mean, he's the one God, isn't he? I mean, don't the Muslims believe in one God? Isn't he the same God as our God? No, he isn't. Do you know most Christians don't know that? Most Christians believe that the Muslims worship the same God, they just don't acknowledge Jesus. Allah is not the same God. How do I know that? Because the God of the Bible is unfolded in Jesus, and you can't see him unless you look at him through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Now, as a Christian, I have tolerance of the Muslim, the Buddhist, the Shintoist, the Hindu, the whatever, to worship any way they want. But my tolerance does not extend to acknowledging that they have found the way. They're lost. That's what it means. Jesus said, I'm the way, and if you haven't found the way, then you are what? You're lost. Now, people are offended to realize that they're lost. But no one is ever going to look for the way until they first realize they're lost. Why would you be looking for a way if you weren't lost? No man can come unto the Father except by me. Now turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and the 10th chapter. There's no way that a man in a few minutes in a Sunday morning message could ever express all that the first Christmas includes. But if you understand that at this first Christmas, God answered the question that he posed 700 years before in Isaiah chapter 40, he answered his own question, and that question is, what am I like? What do you think I'm like? What will you compare me to? Whom will you liken me to? He said, here's what I'm like. Here's what you can compare me to. Here is the revelation of who I am. Here is the exposure and the unveiling. This is the revealing and the unfolding of who I am. Anything you want to know about me, all you have to do is know my son and you will know me. Yeah.
See, we can know God today. We can know Him today. We can know Him. We can have Him revealed to us in the Son. How does that happen? We come to the Son. We receive the Son. We honor the Son. We know the Son. And then we see the Son. And what have we done? We have come to God. We have received God. We have known Him when we receive Him. We see Him then with our spiritual eyes. And we honor Him. That's how you know God. You can have a real relationship with God. It doesn't have to depend on what somebody else thinks or somebody else says. You can have a real and personal and intimate relationship with God. This is a man right here I've known most of my life, but I know God better than I know him, even though I've never seen God with my natural eyes. Do you understand? Here's a woman over here I've been married to for 38 years. I know God better than I know her. So can you. You can really have a revelation of Him, but you cannot have it apart from Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10 and verse 22. I love this verse. Whoa, I love this verse. All things are delivered to me of my Father. Everybody say, all things. I tell you, anything you want to know about God, if you know Jesus, you've got the answer. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knows who the Son is but the Father. Now, knowing here, what Jesus is talking about is not intellectual knowing. He's not talking about knowing something in your mind. He's talking about knowing it in your heart where it really matters. I've told the story over and over and over again. Just the other night, I was in a situation where I was talking with a fellow who was a religious person, church member. And I was trying to describe to him the difference between knowing something in your heart or in your mind, believing something in your mind, and really knowing and believing it in your heart. And I used the story again about the tight wire across Niagara Falls. How many of you have heard me tell this story? How many of you could tell it yourself to someone else? You need to know this story or some story like it, because it is so excellent at explaining this principle. The story is told that many years ago, a man who was famous for his balance and his ability to walk a tight wire was doing a grand stunt, much like Evel Knievel does. And he stretched a tight wire, a high wire, across Niagara Falls. Now, if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, it is very threatening. The noise of the falls is deafening. You can hardly hear a conversation anywhere close to the falls. It is very loud and boisterous, and it is also, you can't even see how deep the water is because of the mist that rises as the falls fall. I wouldn't walk a tight wire from this platform to the first chair here, you know. And he's walking across the falls, and he set up a platform on either side at which he had anchored the two ends of this high wire cable. In order to make the stunt all the more dramatic, he had arranged to roll a barrel across on the wire. He was going to walk the tight wire, and also he was going to roll a barrel. And this kind of an event had caused many news reporters and so on to gather, and they were all at the bottom of the platform on the beginning side as he was to begin his stunt. And as he got ready to go and he looked down and he saw all of these reporters down below, they must have looked like grasshoppers from where he was, but he called out to them and he said, "Do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope, across the falls, and push the barrel?" And everybody down below said, "Yes, yes, we believe. We're here to record the event." And he called back, "Which one wants to get in the barrel?" See, there's a great difference, isn't there? between acknowledging, oh, yes, yes, and climbing the ladder and stepping into the barrel and putting your life on the line. Most of the people who are sitting in our churches this very day are like those at the bottom who said, yes, yes, we believe. But not very many are willing to climb the ladder and get in the barrel and put their life on the line that this is true. Intellectually, they believe it. Intellectually, they know it. You know, you can know something intellectually. But to know it in your heart means you have a revealing of it. You have an understanding of it. You have a comprehension of it. You don't have all the answers, but you have a, no, I know, I know, I know. And that's when salvation takes place. I lived the first 37 years of my life with an intellectual agreement with the fact that Christmas was real, Jesus was the Son of God, and all of that, but I would have split hell wide open had I died. Till I came to the place in the middle of my life that I gave my heart to Jesus. I didn't know God. I knew Him here, but I never had a revealing of Him here. I never had Him opened up and unfolded and revealed to my eternal spirit. That only happened when I opened my heart with my mouth and said, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to come into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I acknowledge you as my God. Don't just save me from hell, but take my life. And He began to show my God to me. He began to reveal my Father to me. It was the most wonderful thing. I find many people when they pray, they'll pray like this. Oh God, do this. Oh God, do that. Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, this. Oh God, that. Then they get saved and their prayer changes. And their prayer becomes, oh Father. Oh Father, this. Oh Father, that. Oh Father, this. What happened? See what happened to them. Yesterday he was God, but today he's Dad. Yesterday he was God. Today he's Father. No man can know the Father. Here's the verse. Luke 10:22. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Do you understand what that means? Nobody knows who the Father really is except the Son, Jesus, and whom Jesus reveals him to. And the way you get that done is by receiving Jesus into your heart, inviting him to come in and live his life on the inside of you, and he will unfold the Father God to you, and your God will become your Father. Hallelujah. That's what Christmas means. To who will you liken your God? Who's your God's likeness? To what or to whom will you compare your God? How would you answer Isaiah's question? I answer Isaiah's question with one word. Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Let's have every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. Perhaps you're here today. Perhaps you're in the service this morning, and I've said something about this Jesus that you never understood before. And you're not sure, absolutely sure, whether you really know God. You may have been a Christian all your life, or for a period of time, you might have been a part of a church. You might have been in and out of church. But today you understand in a way that you never did before that Jesus is the only way to really know God, and that when you know Jesus and when you come to Him and receive Him, that what you're really doing is you are receiving God into your heart and into your life. If you've never done that, or you're not sure that you've ever done it, and you want to do that today, let me just see you express yourself with your uplifted hand. Every eye is closed, nobody looking about. Are there any in our congregation today who that's how you feel? That you want to meet Jesus, you want to come to Him and receive Him and have God unfolded in your life as we've been describing today? I'll wait just a moment. Are you here today and you would say, Jesus, I know you are my Savior and I know you have revealed my Heavenly Father to me. By my uplifted hand, I'm asking you for an increased unfolding and an increased understanding, an increased revelation of who my God in me really is. Let me see your hands. Yes. Yes. Father, you see our hearts. You may lower your hands. You see our hearts. And you know, Father, how desperate we are to know more of you, to know you more fully. We want to have the revelation of you in us. We want to know you as we're known, perfectly, fully, clearly. As we pray today, Father, we invite you to do whatever is necessary in our lives to bring us a richer, deeper, fuller, more expansive comprehension of who you are and who you are in us, and as a result, who we are in you. We thank you for this marvelous, marvelous Christmas event. We thank you for the eternal significance of it. We thank you for loving us and caring for us so much and realizing that there was no way that we could ever, ever, ever see you, know you, comprehend you without your taking the initiative. Thank you for taking the initiative. Thank you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. We know you because you first know us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray also, Father, that you would give us opportunities this Christmas season to express to perhaps a friend, perhaps a neighbor, perhaps a relative, that which we have found to be true. That no man can know God, but first he knows Jesus. Help us, Lord, to alter the thinking of our world about the Christmas season. Help us, Lord, to alter the understanding. Christmas is not about Santa Clauses and trees and reindeer and ornaments and lights and it's not even about giving and gifts. It's about your unspeakable gift. It's about your indescribable gift. And without a revelation of Jesus, without knowing Jesus, it's impossible to have a real Christmas. No way. Help us without being self-righteous, Lord.